I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lang. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Over the past year, the hot topic has been the Royal Commission, and that's obviously having an impact upon lenders. So how has this affected commercial property investors?
Well, it's an interesting question because I recently handled this in response to a query from some of my mentor group. And I guess everyone's probably gathered that the Royal Commission has caused lenders to tighten their requirements as far as loan approvals are concerned. And as a result of that, your ability to borrow seems to become somewhat tougher. And that's principally because lenders are now running scared, wishing to avoid any more of the unwanted exposure for themselves. And as such, they're creating a number of fresh hurdles you need to jump over in order to secure what was otherwise a fairly simple financial deal.
So have the fundamentals of borrowing changed all that much?
No, not really. In essence, the fundamentals are exactly the same. It's just that you need to ensure that your loan submission is well prepared and ticks all the boxes. And let's start with some of the factors you need to address to help guarantee that your submission will be successful. Now, obviously, you have to provide a sound basis for the loan. And then you have to choose the right lender for your property, and in doing so, build a rapport with the chosen lender, because you need to find out and adopt all their format and procedures. And you also need to know exactly how much you need to borrow. And finally, you need to submit a positive and honest financial proposal. In the past, they've been rather lax in their assessment, and that was brought to bear in the Royal Commission. So now the banks are being a lot more rigorous, and you need to find out exactly what it is they're requiring from you so that you can dish it up the first time round rather than having to go back several times and provide what they need.
Perhaps you'd like to unpack each of those factors for us and explore them one at a time.
Okay, well, let's perhaps deal with them one by one. The best way to address the issue of a sound basis for the loan is to properly analyse, or firstly select and analyse your property so as to demonstrate that the net income going forward will adequately service the loan. And as part of my mentor group, I equip them to do that. And you can also, from my website, get the high return filter, which will help you quickly analyse the properties to work out where they should be on your shortlist. Now, my mentor group also have the final judgment software, which is where you can fully analyse the various components. I think there's about 22 different components to do a projected cash flow on an after-tax basis to work out which of the properties on your shortlist should be considered further. And doing this properly becomes even more important if you're looking to borrow on a non-recourse basis where there are no personal guarantees provided and the property is the sole source of the security for the lender.
And I'm guessing choosing the right lender, building rapport with your chosen lender, and adopting their format and procedures is a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the next three factors can take a considerable amount of time and effort on your part, because that sort of knowledge and familiarity is only built up over a number of years. And this is probably the main reason why I strongly recommend to clients that they use a good finance broker. Because finance brokers know the key players, they know the rules, and they know where the best deals lie. And so you're looking for a broker who already has a good rapport with the lenders and is very familiar with their required format and procedures for granting the loan. And you'll find it's a very productive use of your time to align yourself with a good broker, because they can certainly shorten your learning curve and also anticipate some of the issues that might be involved that you would otherwise overlook.
And what about the last two factors?
When it comes to knowing how much you need to borrow, that generally relates to the amount of equity you can bring to the table. But it also involves an understanding of what your add-on cost will amount to. And I'm talking about things like stamp duty, legal fees, valuations, and so on. Now, generally, I would suggest you allow about 8% on top of the purchase price to be conservative. You're going to get change out of that, but it's better to over-allow than under-allow. Then the final aspect is that you have to prepare and submit a final or formal finance proposal itself. Now, gone are the days when lenders are bending over backwards to get your business, and when you could sort of massage the figures somewhat to make everything look rather rosy. Currently, the big banks especially are most particular about what's being presented and will generally scrutinise whatever you put forward in great detail. So the proposal needs to look professional, with a photograph depicting the property itself on the front page. Now, underneath the photo, you should display the contents of your finance proposal along with the various appendices that are forming part of the submission. And then the next page or couple of pages should include a brief summary of what you're seeking along with what you're offering as security. And underneath that, you need to provide a general description of the property that's being offered as collateral. Now, this doesn't need to go into extensive detail, but it does need to provide a concise overview designed to grab the attention of the lender. Now, assuming this isn't the only investment property you own, you need to give a quick summary of the extent of your current portfolio, making reference that the full details will be contained in the appendix which is attached. Now again, a brief comment is always helpful as to the comfort being provided by this overall portfolio to back up the new purchase that you're making. And then there needs to be reference to your assets and liabilities to provide the lender with a bottom line figure, which they can verify from the detailed summary you provide in the appendix. And lastly, you need to also include a copy of the valuation, which you had organised earlier in your name. And if you've been listening to previous podcasts, that's important, that once you purchase the property, you instruct the valuer so that you receive a soft copy and can attach it to not only this proposal, but maybe two or three others that your finance broker will be making. So you'll recall a reason for doing this is to provide a subtle reminder to the lender that you haven't yet decided to run with them. And so not until you get the best commercial terms and also the best contractual terms for the loan will you then assign the valuation, which is currently in your name, across to the lender so they can hold it as part of the security for the money you're borrowing.
Well, once again, we've covered a fair amount today.
Yeah, we have. But look, as I said, this is merely intended as a basic starting point, because your finance broker will guide you as to the exact format required by each specific lender. But hopefully it has helped to remove some of the mystique surrounding a loan application.
And I'm sure it has. So thank you.
Well, again, my pleasure.